I thought I might introduce myself a bit. Some of you have known me for a while, but some of you have not. My usual introduction to people goes, "Hi, my name is Chris Grapentine. I'm 6'7½". I did not play basketball, and the weather up here is just fine." That answers all the questions people have, usually. The longtime members here know me, but we've had so many new people, and there are a few of you that have come in more recent years. So I thought I might mention that this is my fourth time being a part of this congregation. Back in 1969, I came to Ann Arbor as a young freshman here at the University of Michigan, intending to be a doctor. And I joined my brother living in the old parsonage next door, where students continue to live. And I lived there for the first 4 years I spent in Ann Arbor. And although I didn't always drag myself out of bed on Sunday mornings and shuffle across here for worship, I was here often enough to get to know a lot of the people here, to sing in the choir on occasion, to get to know the Reeds and the Floyds and the McKeechies and all of the other longtime members here. And then after going on about my life for a while, in 1987, after serving a couple of congregations in Illinois, our family moved back here to Michigan so that I could pursue my singing career. No, I didn't become a doctor. And so I took the newly created position of Christian Ed Director here at First Baptist because there had been a lot of growth in the church and they needed to have somebody to oversee that. So I was here for only a year and a half because we were actually living up in Lansing where my parents and my wife Carolyn's parents were. And so the commuting back and forth and trying to serve a congregation while living 60 miles away didn't really work too well. But finally, in 1995, our family moved here to Ann Arbor. Now, mostly, again, for my singing career, I was part of a quartet, all the rest of whom lived here in Ann Arbor. And I was getting rather tired of driving back and forth all the time. And since Ann Arbor is kind of the center of the musical community of Michigan, this was where people were. So once again, we came to Ann Arbor. Once again, we became a part of First Baptist Church. And we joined with our children, and they spent time here making friends until in 2002, I went over to our sister church, Northside Community Church, to be the interim pastor for 3 months and ended up staying for 11 years. But then in 2013, I retired from Northside, and of course, we shuffled back over here to First Baptist Church. Although I keep disappearing now and then, I went to be an interim pastor out in Grass Lake for a year. And then, of course, COVID happened. And for over 2 years, I don't think we were ever here. Only this fall have we finally come back and started singing in the choir again. So First Baptist Church has been a big part of my life for a long time. My brother was married here. Both of our children were married here. So, on to this passage that I read from Hebrews. It's one of the lectionary passages for this Sunday. One of the passages chosen for the first Sunday after Christmas. And right in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. Yes, these are the 12 days of Christmas. Contrary to what people think, contrary to what the stores want to tell you 12 days before Christmas to buy something every day. These are the 12 days, starting on Christmas Day and leading to Epiphany. It doesn't seem very Christmassy. But the author is trying to make a point about the incarnation, about the Emmanuel, God with us. And so he writes, he says, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And then in verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. And finally, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. You see, there was this idea floating around in those days, really not too long after Jesus' time, that Jesus wasn't really human. That he was some kind of spiritual being that simply was made to kind of look human. But how could, if he was God, how could he be human? So he just was made to look human, but he didn't really have any true humanity about him. But if he wasn't human, of course, then he didn't really have to cope with the things that we deal with as humans. The struggles of human life, the temptations, the pain, the sorrows, the frustrations, the inevitability of death. But the author was having none of it. He wanted to make sure that we understood that Jesus was indeed fully human. That since children have flesh and blood, so too he shared in their humanity. And that he was made like his brothers and sisters in every way. Because if Jesus was like us in every way, but without sin, then he was worthy to be our leader, leading us the way to salvation, leading us the way to God, leading us the way to living the kinds of lives that God wanted for us. Our Savior, our Comforter in the struggles of this life, because he knew what they were. He lived them. He felt them just as we do. Our Emmanuel was truly God with us. A part of us, one of us. But there's another message, a bit buried in this passage, that I want to make sure we fully grasp. In emphasizing how truly human Jesus was, the author brings out the idea that we who put our trust in Jesus become his brothers and sisters and children of God. It's right there. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through his suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. It's the same idea really that pops up over and over again in the Apostle Paul's writings and in other New Testament writers, in the Gospel of John, in 1 John, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. This idea of that we are the children of God and brothers and sisters with Christ. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. And although he owns the whole estate, he is nothing but a slave. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that he might receive the full rights of sonship. And you, who are no longer a slave, but a son, since you are a son, a child of God, God has made you an heir. That was from Galatians 4. As Christians, we are a part of God's family, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and heirs to all that God has. Which, of course, is everything. I remember the first time that I really heard those words and began to grasp what a great gift we have been given. That we are inheritors of all that God has. That we, as the children of God, are the inheritors of the things of God. The Spirit of God invades our life and fills us and makes us new people, God's people. What a gift to know that the great God of the universe, the creator of all things, has adopted us as children and as heirs to the kingdom. But for me, the greatest gift in this idea of being part of the family of God, the children of God, brothers and sisters with Jesus, is to know that I have a family wherever I go. That the followers of Jesus are my brothers and my sisters wherever they may be and wherever I am. And that they are surely my brothers and sisters as much as my two biological brothers. That has been a lived reality throughout my life. And let me share just a little bit about that life. I grew up in the church. When I say that, I literally mean it. My father was the pastor of a church, several churches, but mostly in Walled Lake, Michigan, just up the road a few miles. And especially during the times when we lived in the parsonage there, right next to the church was my playground. The church was where we were all the time. The pews that I slept in, the toys that I played with, the people who made up my life. Especially during those years, people would just, you know, they saw the parsonage and the church as one big thing, so people just wandered into our house all the time. Sometimes much to my mother's consternation, because they'd also come in and eat our food. But hey, they were family. There was Uncle George. He wasn't really my uncle, but we called him Uncle George. He was our church organist. My mom was the choir director. And so after choir, after church, after just about anything, Uncle George would wander over and have a cup of coffee, sit and talk for a while. And then there was Uncle Jack. That's what we called him. He also wasn't really my uncle. Not the way most people think of it. Uncle Jack was a simple man. He was a house painter. But he was also the janitor of the church. And my seventh grade Sunday school teacher. And since I always would forget and leave my Bible at church, when Jack was there cleaning, he would find it and write little notes to me like, "Oh, I see you've left your Bible at church again." And then again, and again, and again. I've still got that Bible tucked away someplace. There's got to be at least 15 agains in there. Uncle Jack was a big influence in my early life. A dear man of God who loved us so much. And then there was Mama Wilson, who actually was Jack's mother. But she became our grandmother. My dad's mom died when he was a young boy, so I only had one grandmother growing up. Mama Wilson became a babysitter for my younger brother when my mom was teaching, and then just kind of became part of the family. You know, she was the one who came and stayed with us when my parents needed to go away. And she was just Mama Wilson till the day she died. And then Brother Doug, in my college years, through the American Baptist Church's youth programs across the state of Michigan, which were very active in those days, I got to know my friend Doug Wargle. And I don't know how it got started, but we started calling each other, the whole group of us. You know, there was Brother Doug, Brother Paul, Brother Fred, Brother Rick. But Doug really became my brother and was as close to me as my biological brothers to this day. And the fact that I knew people all over the state of Michigan, I always felt safe because I knew that there were friends, people that I could go to nearby. Even if I didn't know them, and if they didn't know me, I had brothers and sisters. I had family everywhere I went. It actually came in handy one time. I had been up in Traverse City for the weekend for some reason, which I don't remember. But I stopped off in Cadillac to make a phone call. In those days, you had to stop to make a phone call and go to a phone booth. And in getting out of the car, I lost my wallet. And I figured out shortly after that I had dropped it and went back, but somebody had already picked it up. So I was in Cadillac, Michigan, with no wallet, no cash, no credit cards, no identification, and not enough gas to make it back to Ann Arbor. What was I going to do? After figuring out how much gas I did have and how far I could make it, I realized I could make it to the little town of Belding, Michigan, where I had friends. Friends from Lake Louise camp. I had been there many times and knew the family, and so I knew that if I could just make it to Belding, I'd be all right. And I did. And my friends, the Lepinks, let me come and stay. I think I stayed the night. And then in the morning, Mr. Lepink gave me the cash out of his wallet to get me home. Of course, back in those days, it didn't take much cash. But nonetheless, it was something that I always remembered and knew that I needed, that the family was there for me. In seminary, a lot of the men and women who were there had become Christians in college and had never really been a part of a church, and now they were studying to be ministers. And they had to decide what denomination would they be a part of. And it caused me to give some thought. I had grown up in the American Baptist churches. I had always been a part of it. I had never really questioned it, but I decided, maybe I should think about it. Why do I want to be an American Baptist? And although I could come up with a lot of good reasons and a few not so good reasons to remain an American Baptist, mostly I decided they were my family. It was the people who raised me. And for whatever good or bad there might be within the American Baptists, they were my people. And I wanted to give my ministry and my service back to them. This is a little bit about my family, my journey, my life. And I want all of us to know the joy, the peace of knowing that you have family here. We come from all over. Families now are spread out all over and often don't have any biological family close by. And we here are often alone. Students come here by themselves. The people who are from here, their children have gone elsewhere. But we, our family. Jesus has told us we are family. We are children of God, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Aunts and uncles, grandparents to each other. These children who come up here every week are our children. We are not just members of a club. We are eternally bonded to one another and need to share our entire lives with one another while fulfilling God's purposes in this world good times. We need to share the difficult times, the hard times, the sad times, the embarrassing times, the heart-wrenching times, all of it, because we're family. Most of us have a bond with our earthly brothers and sisters, our earthly families, that is nearly unbreakable, even when we don't get along that well, even when we disagree about things, even when we sometimes don't even really like much like each other. I'm not speaking from experience, mind you. But they're family. They're the ones that have been given to us. And we are family. We are the ones that God has given to each other. We are aunts and uncles, brothers, sisters, grandmas and grandpas to each other. And it is my sincere hope that we can share about our lives. We can share about who we are, as I've shared a little bit today about who I am, with each other, so that we will know each other and love each other and care for each other as family. It's what God has called us to and what God has called us out for, to be brothers and sisters in the family of God.